Start the recording now. Much time have we got? 17 minutes for official start. Yeah, meh. Possibly. No. Maybe. No. I like this one better. No.
One I like is better is when the tree's smaller and there's the hills going up.
Yeah, this one's better. Right hand side. And pick. That one's better.
Yeah.
Don't like the foreground. That one's possible. Nah. Possible. No. Not sharp. It's too blurry. That's it. All right, let's show the pics. That's out of 30 pictures. Got six left, so...
That's not bad.
Not bad for a 10-minute session. So, I'll tell you what, I was going through the development thing. Let's see what auto does. No, don't like that. Does need a bit brightening, though. I think I was stopped down a bit. Still don't like these little things there. And that is, I think it's just a bit distracting. That needs to be cropped in. Nah. Give it a 2-star. Next. Yeah, it's to be brightened up a little bit. I think it wants to rotate a bit. Better. Still don't like the those leaves, yeah. Mind. Never mind.
If you went into Photoshop, you could just take those out, couldn't you?
Yeah. Quite like this one.
That's the one I think I like the best.
Yeah. But what I don't like is this is sort of unsharp.
Yeah.
Obviously, I couldn't be higher up, but... A little gradient. Minus 15. See if I can do a range mask on the color. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. So it's my, hang on, let's undo that. Minus 15 is probably all right. Done. Do another one from the bottom. Bit of texture, a little bit of clarity, a little vibrance. 5 should probably do.
If you take that into Photoshop, and then you go to the filters and apply. Mind you, change it to black and white and use the infrared type filter. What do you get? Have you ever tried it?
Yeah. I'll give that 3-star. Go on in. And I'll do that. Hang on. What if I get this one? Copy. Check all. Copy that. Go here. Hang on, did I do the right thing? Yeah, copy that. Got this one. Paste it in. Yeah. Not bad. So obviously it's two of these filters on, but need to give it a rating. 2-star. Where am I? Basic. Let's see what auto does. Yeah. 2-star. Job done. Might as well do this one as well. Yeah. That came to life. 2-star. Great. Job done. Export. Rate this, say, 24. Export still going. Come on, export. Yeah, 1600. That'll do fine. Only 6 images anyway. And job done. Link. Yeah, job done. Copy that. There. And go here, find my name. There's my name. My name at the front. That's that. Right. Let's create an all folder and go to edit. That's the first. Go to me. The second, Paul. Number 3, Peter Dixon. He is number 4. Peter Strassheim, and number 5, and Rebecca. Number 6. And there's our series ready. Get that out of the way. Start up fast tone. Go to the right folder. There we are. All ready to go.
Good.
I'll tell you what. I've never been that quick, right?
Yeah, you're getting smoother. You're getting more used to it.
Yeah, I know exactly what to do with these, like all the images in order, because people send them to me and then they do like, you know, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then number 10 is basically just after number one again.
Goes back to one again.
So I put the zeros in front. I typically put the name slide with just 00. And then once I've done that, I've got this rename tool in there and it just like put everything, like anything what you want in front of the name very quickly. It's like a tool I've been using for 20 years plus. It's called Total Commander. It's even licensed to the old company I used to work for. But yeah, so six people. See if any late arrivals came in. No, I don't think so. Oh, Morgan Fowler. Yeah. Oh, hang on. Got some more. Oh, Morgan, what have you done?
Dr. Morgan's in because they were pushing him last week to get some.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, you go in last, so not to worry. Photos for tonight. Select all. No, I have to save image as. Hang on. That's one. Oh, somebody coming in. Hey, Peter. Good evening. You might be muted.
What?
Yeah, oh, there you are.
He's there. Evening, Peter.
Yeah, just got a lot of rubbish on the screen. Is that yours or your Zoom?
No, that's my
Gerben's screen.
That's Gerben's rubbish.
And my rubbish. I'm sorting out the images as we speak. Because Morgan just sent something in. And
Sorty boy.
Nice ones, though.
Evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, David.
Hi, David.
Two, three, four, five.
What's a dog called, David?
Seven.
Dolls. Was it King Dolls?
Nine.
What? Sounds not very good, Dave.
Are you on?
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening,
Kevin. Morgan Fowler, what have you done?
He was on there before, seeing his name.
I've got Morgan Fowler here. On the Photoshop. You see me working frantically just before every meeting, right? Just in time management here. I was just out like, so 20 past seven to like half seven, out taking some pictures in front. So those are my six images that I want to show. So they're basically taken just like half an hour ago. Did a quick edit together with Fred. Fred was on the line. And now Morgan, I just noticed Morgan came in with another set of images. And I didn't have him yet as a name slide. So here's the name slide. Come on. There we are.
Oh, I know what I haven't done. I'm connecting my
Hello, Roy.
Evening, all.
Evening.
Hi, Doreen.
Hi, Roy.
Everybody's popping in. Well, I'm frantically just doing the last bit of work.
Oh, we're getting you, are we?
Yeah, yeah. I just noticed Morgan Fowler just sent something in, and I hadn't noticed it yet. So, hang on, I need him here as well. Morgan Fowler, come on there. Copy that.
Hey, everyone.
Good evening. And that is number 7. And that should be that. Job done. Yep, all ready to go. Sorry, I won't spoil it. 7 people showing work tonight. Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
Hey, everyone.
Good evening.
Oh, Peter, how are you?
Keep it up.
Gerben.
Hello.
I might have to leave the meeting as quick as I've joined it, but I will come back.
All right. Okay.
I'm expecting my son to ring any minute.
Okay. I like your lighting setup, Peter.
If I suddenly disappear, you know why.
Yeah, yeah.
Apologies to everyone.
It looks like you're imprisoned.
Yeah. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Carol.
David. Hi. Yes, I was thinking the same, Peter. You look like you're in prison.
It's the sun shining through the blinds.
Yeah, yeah. No, no, it looks really good.
Hi, Doreen.
Hi.
Paul, have you been there all week?
Yes, I've moved. I've moved it all week. I haven't moved.
Good evening, all.
Hi.
Hello, David. Hi.
Hello.
Where in the world are you? Who is it? Fred.
Oh, I'm sitting in the street in the middle of Durham.
That's what it looks like. Yes. Everybody okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Am I still sharing my screen here? I think I do.
You're still seeing your screen, Gerben.
That's all right. Just the images right. I'm showing anyway. So,
am I not appearing? Can you not see me then?
No.
Your chest.
You need your chest.
Oh.
You need to shift your camera to your face.
So you haven't got your dusting done yet, Linda.
And me?
You haven't got your dusting done yet.
I have. I'm sitting in the cleanest house in Shotley Bridge.
Oh, no, yeah, you might be, but I'm the cleanest house in the world. Is everybody all right?
Yeah. Yes, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I might be, if I'm not showing, should I be pressing something? I did last week, I think.
It's something to do with your lens, Roy. You know about lenses. Point it at the subject.
What?
Point your lens at your face.
Hello?
Yeah.
Your little mini camera is looking at your chest.
Yeah, you need to move it.
Oh, I see. It is there. Yeah.
There.
So
you need to move it.
Last time I can.
Oh, hello, Roy.
Hello.
A bit higher.
Oh, I can see it now. Wait, I can see where it is. Yeah, no, a bit higher still. I can see it.
Yeah.
So I can adjust it one second.
More to the, probably the right.
Is Malcolm with us?
That's it. He's muted.
Is Malcolm with us?
Hello, Malcolm.
He's on there now.
Yeah, I've just unmuted Malcolm.
Hi, Malcolm. All right.
Somebody's eating crisps.
Can't see Malcolm.
Hello, Doreen.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
Oh.
It's Ed eating crisps.
Well, he could pass them round.
He could.
Oh, I can just eat one. I haven't had my dinner yet, so I might last till the end.
I nearly forgot.
Has everybody, everybody been sitting in their garden today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At work.
10 minutes. I was at work today.
Well, I must have been busy. Not long enough.
But it's time for something else now.
Cheers, Gerben.
Yeah.
What's that you're thinking, Gerben?
This is just some red wine.
Just some red wine.
Yeah.
Cheers. I've got some as well.
Can't cheers, drink. Everybody.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Can't drink whiskey all the time.
Best wishes
so.
To cheers. Everybody. Morgan
Fairley. Oh, sorry.
Saw that.
Hello, Morgan.
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
There's another one on the wine, David Quinn.
You've got to try it. I've been at work all week, you know.
I've got to finish my beer before and have my wine.
Mine's gone.
My beer's gone already.
Yeah, my wine's gone.
From Mexico.
Like Peter Strassheim's trying to climb out the window.
I definitely need a sip before I show you Dark Table. Does anyone know of a product called Dark Table?
You've heard of it.
Yeah, it's like
a... Sounds a bit shady.
No, it doesn't mean anything to me.
No, if you're not into computers and you don't want to learn and you know Lightroom, I would not touch it. But it's a like an open source version of Lightroom. And they call it Dark Table.
Come on. Durban, sorry, what?
It's free.
It's an open source version of Lightroom.
All right.
It's called Dark Table, so it's completely free. But it takes some getting used to. But the good thing is, if you're using these sidecar files on your computer, hang on, I can probably show you that. Where's my computer? I don't normally use...
Roy, you're looking at the disco.
2020.
What? Why? I'm sure.
You look like you.
Yeah. Go on, say.
You look like you're at the disco.
Do I? Oh, because of my headphones.
No, I think there's some connection problem with the camera.
Oh.
But.
Yeah.
We'll get used to it.
Yeah.
So if you. If you set up Lightroom with sidecar files, open with.
Does it pick up Fuji RAW files?
So these are like XML files that store all your changes. So obviously, you can do it two ways in Lightroom. You can either store it in the database. Central database, or you can store it in a sidecar file, which is an XMP with the same name as your image itself. So all your changes are actually in there, like your keywords and you, like anything you've changed from in the image. So obviously along with your, in my case, there's a Nikon RAW file, NEF files. But if you do that in Lightroom, so like this, which I just did a quick edit. I took these images just 20 past seven, half seven, just before I came in. So I gave them a quick edit, but now I've loaded the same images in here and you can actually see that the stars and the edits are actually taken on board. So they're the same. So you can switch between one and the other and actually it'll work both ways. But the way you add it is just completely alien, but it's quite powerful once you get into it. Now, I don't want to spend like a long time because obviously I haven't prepped it and it's been a few months since I've used it. And I had every intention to kind of start using it when obviously the Photoshop Lightroom combination became sort of quite expensive. But since working for the uni, they suddenly decided, oh, you can all have it for free, like the whole Adobe suite, basically, not just Lightroom and Photoshop, but everything for free. So I thought I might as well stick to Lightroom because it's just a bit easier.
Very nice. Free as well.
Yeah. But yeah.
Bit of door force.
So what do you say, Peter?
Can you get a free course as well?
I didn't hear it.
Can you get it free for us as well?
I can get darkroom or dark table free for you because it's free anyway. But Lightroom, no.
That's no bargain.
No, that's linked to your user log on, like my university log on. So yeah, that's. I'm afraid not.
Does this guarantee a free, a better composition then?
Yeah, we're not going into the quality of the images itself.
I see you're taking a swig there, Carl.
They're a little bit better than last week's, I would say.
They were good last week, Gerben.
All right, thank you. Better than this
very,
one.
Then. Very interesting. Very interesting.
I'll shut up. Anyways, yeah. Let's have a look. How many are we?
That's a nice Frank Buick sky.
Yeah, it's randomly changing all the time.
Roy will be very familiar with skies like that from the late Frank Buick.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. this is the entrance of the
Used to call those beams of light fingers of God.
Yeah, they were known as that around the Federation at one time, I think. Yeah.
But Roy used to use chemicals to put his in.
Put in Frank Buick.
Yeah, you can. Yes, a little bit of a swab with very dilute iodine will do a lot.
Potassium ferrocyanide.
Right. Shall we get going,
Gerben? Yes, thank you very much again, Gerben, for organising it.
It's a pleasure.
How many are we?
I was just having a look.
20.
20, yeah.
20.
Good. There we are. Excellent. So who's first, Gerben?
I've got a whole lot of desktop images. Oh, it's gone.
You want to see my desktop, Roy?
No, I got a whole row of images, like your desktop images.
All right.
On the left-hand side, superimposed on the picture. But it's gone off now, and just the word Ed Foster.
Yeah. That if you share the screen, I think you kind of have one or two like rows of our mug shots, basically the little video next to each other. So you can drag it to the right or the left.
Bye, Gerben.
Yeah. All right. Bye, Peter.
Come on in, Ed. Let's see right. Your black and white pictures.
Ed.
Enough.
There you are.
Right. What have I'll obviously continue with black and white, and these are all digital, I think. And I'm just carrying on with the theme of music, where this time it's street music or street musicians or buskers as they're commonly known. So there's a set of 10 from various locations. This was somewhere near the monument and Newcastle. What I've tried to do this time is rather than just have the musician, make the background a bit more interesting rather than just sort of the grab shot. So this is a girl playing guitar, absolutely useless. This is the whole aim of was that people donate and put the money in an empty coffee cup. So that's, I don't know who she is, but that's at, near the monument in Newcastle. Next, Gerben, please. This is on Northumberland Street, I think, when they were doing quite a bit of building. Looks like probably Fenix or something. And they just had, this was a hoarding at the back with these young kids on with their helmets on. They were just a duo. One was playing some plank of wood on the right, and she certainly didn't want to be there by the look on her face.
what I got was, I'm pleased afterwards, I got this guy on the left sort of moving into shot, and rather than take him out, I just left him in there just to try and hold things together. But the main thing was to get the background a little bit more interesting than just the normal stuff in the shop window. Next, Gordon, please. We're back again. We're still on Northumberland Street. I've darkened the background down there just to get this sort of person and ghost form moving out the back and the back left. But this girl was playing like, I don't know, like a glass type violin. It was probably some sort of hard plastic, I would think. But she was very good. But the fact that there was the particular interest in the violin rather than the sort of what you would expect. But yes, she was very, very good. Again, just wanting tips, and I normally if they're pretty good and want to photograph, I normally put some money in their cup, and then I don't feel particularly guilty after that. Next, please. Well, I think the next few are up at the Fringe at some time, where there's doesn't seem as good as it has been in the past, but there's loads and loads of street musicians, and this guy was just playing the saxophone on the street corner. All dressed up in probably the sort of 40s or 50s jazz. Again, another good musician. Next, please. Again, we're back to the Fringe. This sort of busker, the guitar guy, he's sort of been taken over. It was actually lashing down with rain, hence the umbrellas and people moving around. And we had this guy dancing. I mean, he was just making an absolute fool of himself. Just couldn't get rid of him. You know, I waited and waited to try and get him out of the shot. Then the more I looked at, the more I found him interesting to include. So that was one rainy year at the Fringe. I think we got soaked that year because we walked down to see the Edinburgh exhibition at King Street. I think it is, got absolutely soaked. But yeah, again, free music, free models, worth it. Next, please. Again, we're still at the Fringe. I just love this little girl, the expression on her face. I don't know what she was saying. What am I doing here? What's a nice shoe making? Or who's that taking the photograph of me? So I just caught her expression as she walked past. Sometimes the places like the Fringe and Pickering are very, very difficult to get rid of the people in the background. But yeah, sometimes have to end up by using them in the composition, which I've done there. So that's people on the move in the Fringe. Next, please. This is King's Cross Station, where they put they start to put these free pianos in, and people just come along. I think they've started some in Newcastle, but they actually got one pinched out in Newcastle, which you can probably expect. there's quite a number of these in King's Cross, and people can just come and sit and play these pianos. And there's actually some excellent musicians playing. So they play all classic stuff, to boogie woogie, to jazz, some very, very, very good musicians. But what makes this for me is that the queue for the Eurostar train, they're just not taking any notice of this guy whatsoever, totally oblivious to this. This good, excellent pianist in front of them.
So it's St. Pancras, not King's Cross.
Sorry?
It's St. Pancras, not King's Cross.
Yeah, right. Do you want me to start the explanation again, or are you quite happy with that change?
No. You can live with that.
Quickly next. Thanks, Les.
Correct, Ed.
Les, this is... London Bridge Station.
I recognise it.
This was, I think, was this towards the end of the day? I think it probably was. But this woman with this friend, she was absolutely frantic. She rushed to get a spot. I think must have been getting around about rush hour time. And she was, you can see that she was just on the move all the time. But I just love the blur. I think the fiddle is fairly, well, the barrier behind is fairly sharp and focus and still, but she was absolutely frantic, very difficult to catch. But I just like the whole of her is moving, as is the bow. So yeah, a musician on the move, if you like. Again, very good musician. Yeah, that was the Bright Blue Wall behind Dave.
Oh, thank you. It's a very effective movement. I like it.
And I think on the left side, I think that's somebody who's actually moved in front of her, so between her and me with the camera. But it just all adds to the life and the vitality.
Can you remember roughly what sort of it's fixed? What's the motor? Should a speedy used? Sorry, I'm.
I don't know. It was quite dark, so it might have been about an eighth or a 15th of a second or something, handheld. And you just, as I've said before, on movement, it's very effective with people. Otherwise, they look like mannequins, but you really have to be, prepared for failures. Yes, so I think I got about three out of about eight, which were worth having a look at. But yeah, but digitally, just bin them. It doesn't cost any extra money. So yeah. Don't waste the opportunity. If you don't take it, you don't get it.
Correct.
Next slide, please. Next. This is Borough Market, where this girl was, I think she was singing a sort of folk stuff. CD was for a fiver, which I thought that she was actually paying us to take them, but no, we had to buy them. She was that good. But I just loved the background. I don't know whether that's probably 1920s or something, or old sort of market, like with the marketplace, but that was just a mural.
The impression
and,
of the.
Sorry.
It gives the feel of the Great Depression.
See on the right-hand side, even Jeremy Corbyn's there.
I thought it was written for a Rather Club auction.
But no, it's just a mural on the wall. It just again, it's she was there, just really making use of the background that's available to you. It's probably a half decent shot on its own without the musician. But yeah, but it's nice to see a very sort of poor quality nameplate and advert for the CD. A shot of bags there with all the gear in. So they're very much, I think they all, in London now, I think they have to auction, they have to audition and they're given the slot. And then, they have the sort of the market police going around. If they miss the slot, well, they miss it or they kick them off type of thing. So it's pretty well organised in London. So yeah, there's good, bad and indifferent. But again, it's the photography sometimes more than the music. Next, please. This is the last one, which is, this was in Segovia in Spain, northern Spain. We had a tour around the old city and we just heard this sort of classical music coming. But of course, somebody had to get up and be stupid, really. But actually, it made just an ordinary shot with a bit more interest. There was a whole crowd of Japanese people.
I thought she had an invisible puppet there.
You can see the puppet sitting on the chair, can you? They're working in tandem. But typically, the whole crowd of Japanese were behind. So, the lighting was absolutely superb. Like,
with a fashion. That'd be lovely to colour, Ed.
Is it? I don't know. Is it? That looks like 50 Shades of Grey to me there.
It is.
Plenty of colour there. I don't know what to do. It's obviously stone and her dress was red, I think, as you could probably tell, Dave.
Of course. Thank you very much, Dave.
But that was, that's a goofy. So that's a little bit about interesting street stuff with using musicians and backgrounds rather than just, you can home in on these, but yeah. Just to take in the whole area. And I think that is the last one. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ed.
Thanks, Ed.
Well done, Ed.
Somebody found the clap hand, Alan.
Yeah, I've done it.
Yeah. Right. So, as I said, I was not going to do anything. And then there was only five people showing work. And I thought, let me quickly go out and step out across the road from our front door into that rapeseed field.
Not as good as last week's Gerben.
Yeah, I know.
Not as good as last week's mind.
I should have taken the other camera. I'll do that next week. Next week will be rapeseed with the Canon G7. Anyway, so that's 7:20 to 7:30, and then I had to quickly edit them. Fred was actually online already, so just the six of them, because the rest wasn't these were the least bad, right? The tree my tree. Don't you dare take pictures of that one.
It's nice to see the rapeseed out, because I haven't left the house, so I really don't know what's going on in the fields.
I think it's just about on near its fullest bloom here. So obviously I got two trees. So
I like that one.
And that's just the one. And that's me done.
Nice, like big urban.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Gilbert, for making it up at the last minute. Thank you very much.
Last minute. Yeah, yeah. Cheers, Alan.
Thank you.
Paul?
Yeah, thanks very much. I don't show much of my commercial work. In fact, I never showed to the camera clubs, but I thought since we're doing this, I thought we'd be taking an opportunity to show some of what we do in the studio. As you know, we specialise in newborns, and I thought I'd just show a few. There's a few other stuff we're going to show as well. These newborns, it's a 3-hour photo shoot. These babies are probably no more than 10 days old. And the first thing that we need to do is we've got to get these babies to asleep. So as soon as they arrive, we take the baby off the mother. By the way, they're sitting there as well, watching what's going on. We strip them.
The mother's consent.
Oh, yes. Well, they're all the time. We'll actually feed them. If they poop or pee, we clean all that up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've been splattered on, I've been shit on, I've been peed on. I've had a lot.
That's what professional photography is all about.
Yeah, it is. So sometimes it takes about half an hour to get the baby stripped down, get them off to sleep and get them into these nice positions.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the mother.
No, we're giving them coffee and tea and biscuits. We're going to keep them. We'll keep them amused as well. Yes, it's all
Paul. Paul, what do you have to do legally to do this? Are the disclaimers or?
No. Just we just advertise the safety side of it. We've been for the training. For safety, it's very important to be trained to do this sort of thing, because you're working with young lives which are no more than 10 days old.
So do you do that, or do the mothers sort of put them in position?
No. The mother has nothing to do with it. As soon as they come to the studio, they said sit down. We take the baby off them. The only time that the baby may go back if they're breastfeeding. Apart from that week, we do all this. Because we get the baby to sleep, we get them into nice positions. Notice their hand is under the head. We place that in there, so it gives it this, you know, I'm enjoying this little sleep sort of thing. And the only time the baby goes back is to the mother, if like I said, if she's breastfeeding. But there's two people in the shoot. There's the photographer, and what we have is like a baby whisperer. And it's two ladies that would do this. They look after the baby. It's them who change the baby. Or if the mother's quite happy, we'll actually bottle feed it, because sometimes the baby will wake up halfway through, want to be fed, or might want to poop. So as you can see, the blankets that we use, sometimes they get, poor expression, but they get shit on. They get cleaned, they get cleaned after every shoot. Make sure everything's clean and sterile as well. Go to the next one, Gubin.
Yep. You do the hair, Paul, as well.
Yes, I do the hair, yes. we know the thing with us, I see a lot of baby photographers that they overprop. They tend to put lots of things in to try and enhance the picture, but to me, I think it just confuses the image. There's one photographer not too far away from where we are, and she puts lots. There's one photograph I've seen, you couldn't see the baby because of the props, and it was just over the top. We've got a good reputation for taking newborn babies,
And as you see, this is probably a ghoul because it's a make this brown or pinky colour. So we're trying to suit the colours that goes with the gender of the baby.
Oh,
yes.
this one's got huge hands and feet.
It has, isn't it?
Is it not sexist to have a colour that goes with the gender?
No, because that's what the parents want.
Aye.
But through this shoot, there'll be different backgrounds. So they'll probably start off with a cream one, or a grey one. So this baby isn't photographed just in this colour. The set will be changed to do different poses.
Is this flash lighting, Paul?
Yes, it's all studio lighting.
All studio lighting.
Yeah. No, it's difficult to get the lighting right on newborns because the light is actually probably no more than 3 feet away from the baby, so we can actually get the light to bounce all the way around because there's only one light.
Mm-hmm.
Next one, Gerben. And this is where they actually start off with the photo shoot. This is probably one of the first images that's taken in the photo shoot. And as you see, we've actually posed that baby to give it this cute feeling, because this is what happens when the parents come back for the viewing. Oh, isn't that lovely? Notice a little toe sticking out there, the little toes, the hands in the right place. The baby is totally asleep. And this is the type of thing that we love to do. And this is one of the colours we'll probably start off with. It's probably just a plain colour. It's almost white, so we're probably just off-white background.
How long would it take to get that baby into that pose?
Once it's asleep, it'll probably take about 2 or 3 minutes.
Right, as quick as that.
If it wakes up, we know how to handle babies. We know how to get them off to sleep. We can actually, if you start stroking the baby's forehead very gently like this, you can usually get them back off to sleep.
See, it's not chloroform then.
Red wine.
Flies.
Bottle of red.
Bottle of red, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Cheers.
Sorry? You use the whole picture that you've shown as it's shown there, or do you zoom in?
No, it's... We just use the 50mm lens of 1.4.
No, I mean the picture you have there. Would that be the sort of thing you would give to the parents, or would you have a closer crop?
If we want a closer one, we'd take another photograph to crop in.
So do you decide what they sell them, or do they decide ask you what to tell you what they want as no, in no, the we, format?
No, we've got a format that we go through. They'll probably have about 30 images. Although there'll probably be about 100 images taken, but in the viewing they'll see about 30 to 35 images if right. different poses.
So how close are you to the baby with the lens, or?
About 3 feet away, something like that.
Uh-huh, right.
We're quite with a 50mm lens. You're working quite close with them. Mm-hmm. Also, the photographer is actually right in front, because right in front there's a drop. So the photographer will probably have a hand ready in case, because sometimes when the flash goes off, but it's very rare it happens, but sometimes the baby's been known to jump
right.
with the flash. So the photographer...
Paul, is that 50mm full frame, Paul? Or 50mm...
Yes, full frame.
Full frame, 50.
Yeah. Next one. Again, I don't know if it's the same baby, but again, what happens is when we change the set, the baby whisperer will actually take the baby off, back off that set. She might actually feed the baby or go back to mum if she's breastfeeding. So what's happening this time, we're starting to change the set around. We'll put this is on the floor. So we'll put a brown cloth down, put this basket down. And what we have to do with this before we put this baby onto this basket, we have to heat this up, because the room is there, the room that we're working is, we get up to a temperature of 25 degrees.
and it has to stay at that temperature because babies can't adjust their temperature. So we have to make sure that the baby's comfortable, even to overheat the room as well, so they can't adjust their temperature. So this basket, we have to put heaters on to warm it up before we put this baby back on here to make sure. If you put a baby on here, if it's cold, the baby will wake up. Mm-hmm. And again, as you can see, the baby's actually posed there. Notice the hand on its side of its head, and its the other hand's coming around its tummy. The baby looks at it, enjoying this little kip. And like I said, when mums and dads come in to see this, oh, and that looks absolutely lovely. next one, Gerben. we're getting away from newborns, but as you know, we photograph their families, their children, dogs. This was a lovely little girl. She was actually a daughter to photograph, but her parents were a complete a nightmare. when I say that, because she had a brother who was about 4 months old, and the parents wanted to bring her in. It's what we call the cherubs, or watch them grow. And it's three shoots throughout the baby's first year, and I think we had about five shoots with this family, and not once did they turn up on time. They would turn up about an hour late, expecting us to do this photo shoot or whatever, or viewings. So there's like five shoots, so there's absolutely five viewings. So there's like 10 appointments, and not one did they turn up on time. The second time that they turned up, about an hour late, and I says, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to turn you away because I've got a shoot on. He says, oh, well, we can wait. I says, well, you're going to have to wait 3 hours because we've got a newborn shoot on at the minute. So I thought they would get the message, but every appointment after that, they would turn up at least an hour. In fact, there was one day they turned up a day late.
Well, that's a very strong format when you have the land reported in the landscape, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. We're portraits. I've always liked to give some space. And you know, where she's looking into on to the left. I think it's always nice to give a bit space. Mm-hmm. I think this one got me the under fives a couple of years back. But she was a dream to photograph. She was posing all the time. Didn't have to really direct her very much.
Have you focused mainly on the eye?
Yes, you always focus on the eyes because working with a low aperture, and you have to be very careful with that. Although this would have been taken with a different lens, this would have been a 24-105. This would probably be something like around about f/8, I would have thought.
Mm-hmm. Paul, can you remember Joe Downey?
I can, yes, yeah.
Yeah, as soon as this came up, that reminded me of Joe.
yeah. He was renowned for his...
his portraiture.
Yeah.
That's excellent, man.
Mm-hmm. Next one, Gavin.
Oh.
And, you know, yeah. Sometimes parents, like this, again, the parents can be a complete nightmare. They're coming with this little girl. They stuck this thing on her head, and the little girl just didn't want her eye on her head. And they're going to say, smile for the guy, for the man with the camera. And this is an expression. I says to her, I says, can you take that off her head? So they took her off. She smiled. And I thought, hey, you know. Yeah. And when I took this last look in the back of the camera, I thought, they're going to see this when they come for the viewing.
That's brilliant, though.
Yeah. I quite like it.
It's all about capturing the moment, because even though she's smiling, you could tell that she didn't want to be there at the time. So please take this thing off me. Well,
did they buy that one, Paul, for example?
I think they did, because they said it was her character. When she goes,
it's not the Speedy Sweet one, is it?
Oh, no.
I don't think if I sold it, I'd put my label on it. In case anyone knew who'd taken it.
That little girl's going to love that when she grows up.
Oh, she'll love it, yeah. Next one.
Oh,
that's so
sweet.
Yeah, and you know what it is? It's
that's an hour one.
It's a dream, because when you get one kid to come in on the shoot, you can. It's so easy to control them, because you can work with them, you can have fun with them, you can have a laugh with them. It's absolutely fun. But I've had times when we've had I've got five kids to come in, age between 3 months old and five. What a nightmare it is. Trying to get, and they expect the photographer to get every child looking at the camera. They think we're magicians, but we'll try our best.
Beautiful blue eyes, Paul.
Yeah, she is. Again, but just.
Paul, did you think that's a bit more interesting when there's maybe one or two not looking at the camera and just get the mix?
Yeah, well, I don't mind that, because sometimes they're looking away, because sometimes they've got a nice expression, but they get the parents, say, oh, it's a pity Johnny's not looking at the camera. Oh, God, yeah, six kids, I don't know how we expect them to all look at the camera at the same time.
But they're beautiful blue eyes.
Who are you looking at now, David?
The girl in pink.
My eyes are brown. next one, Gubin. I know the lad on the right isn't quite looking at the camera, but he's actually smiling at his mother behind. But to me, the expression just on the little girl, she's just got this infectious laugh. And to me, this is what it's about, is the connection that the photographer has with the sitter. And if you can get these kids to perform like that, it's second to none.
I bet he gets called Wing Nut when he gets to school.
Oh, that's terrible, stouty.
Hey, I never said that, no. The thing is, this is on the front window of the studio. And I think that the auntie, I think, rang up the studio, can I buy that picture you've got in the window? And I said, it's actually 60 inches by 48. It's in two pieces, and we'll not get it off in whole. So we'll look at that. Never mind. Next one, Gerben. And this little chap was getting frights with the lights going off. He was actually laughing with it as well. So every time that the light flashed, he would have this expression. And the mum and dad were saying, "Oh, Peter's getting afraid." And I says, "No, he's actually enjoying this." And the expression we're getting from this little lad's face was just absolutely wonderful. And I just, this is the thing now, the clothes for young kids of this age are just absolutely wonderful. I just love this little jump that he's got on. You just suited him down to the ground. I could photograph him all day, just the expression on his face. Lovely round face. The expression is absolutely beautiful.
I've noticed the catchlight of the flash in the eyes helps the portrait, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should only, technically, if you're putting these in a competition, they should only have one catch light.
Right.
There's only one light. If you're putting these into competitions, there's two. Sometimes you use the odd second light, but you will get a second catch light in there. But if it's for a competition work, there should only be one catch light. But to me, that works.
Yeah. Yeah.
Message from Malcolm.
Sorry?
Malcolm sent a message because his voice isn't working on the thing.
Oh, right.
He's asking if you try to edit one of the eyes to get rid of the catchlight.
Sorry, what's that?
He's asking if you try to edit one of the eyes to get rid of the catchlight.
No, just that's the way it was taken. There's been no edit on the eyes.
Why would you want to get rid of one of them? when he's talking about having one cat's life, he means one in each eye.
One in each eye. Yeah. next one. This is Winston. This is Stephen's dog. This dog comes to the studio every day with us, and I must admit he's done really well with past competitions with the MPA. He's won me the pet award twice in a row, and the competitions have come back round again. So I thought, well, I need to get another photograph of him because he does so well for me. Now, this dog isn't allowed into the studio downstairs. Our office are upstairs. But when he comes downstairs, he hasn't been in here for about a year, the first thing he done was he went into this spot and sat there because he knew I was going to photograph him. All I had was just a handful of he went straight there, knew what was going to happen, and he just sat there, just given the command, just said, Winston, lie down, he'd done that. And he knew he was waiting for his treats. The only thing I've had to do with this, I've had to clean up the slaver just under his chin because he knew there was treats there for him. but he's just a beautiful dog, and I just love photographing. He's so easy to photograph. Next one. I think we're getting to the end.
That's it.
Yeah, that was
Paul,
me last
thing. Thank you.
Paul, well done.
Very nice.
So you can't say in the future that you don't show your professional photography.
Yeah, do you think you can do something with us?
Oh, it's amazing what you can do.
Peter, in colour.
In colour, yeah.
Yeah.
And all flora and fauna. in 2011 I had 5 weeks in Australia and I went over to see my brother, and the thing that I was taken with was the bird life. It was absolutely stunning. As we went in March and April, so the spring flower that's there, autumn, so obviously we weren't going to get the colour of the spring flowers that you would normally get, but the bird life, this of course is iconic with Australia, the kookaburra. They're just absolutely everywhere, and they've got an amazing call. And after about 5 weeks, mainly, you get really sick of hearing them because they're everywhere. But this was in a place called King's Park in Perth, an amazing piece of set aside land for leisure and pleasure and wildlife and everything. It was just absolutely amazing place. Next, please, Gerben. I was wandering through Perth.
Yeah, hey, Peter, what's that? Can I go and get, can you hang on? I get some dog glasses here.
I meant to put a health warning on for you, Ed. I forgot. I did tell you this afternoon, though, that you were going to get a surprise.
Ed, do you think that would look better in black and white?
I don't know, I'm just what can I say other than that it is very sharp. I'll give him that.
It's what you call a rainbow lorikeet.
Wow.
Rainbow.
And they're very, very popular. You know, there's lots of them. They're everywhere.
Are the wild, Peter, yeah?
Pardon?
Are the wild.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. This was in the middle of Perth, right in the middle of the city. They're just everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's quite amazing. They feed a lot on figs. There's fig trees everywhere, you know. And you see all these figs lying around on the ground, half-eaten. And they're off these other birds as well. Mm-hmm. Next,
Peter. Can I say one thing, Peter?
Yeah?
You need to have a word with Paul. And he'll explain how they get the catch light in the eye.
This was in the shade, would you believe? The best place to be in Australia. Next one, please, Gervin. And this is a male and female red-billed gull. Now, which one is the male? The one with his beak closed.
Yeah. You've already had that one, Peter.
I know.
It works
I'm going to put it in again. It's like, all blokes get the earache. Next one, please, Gervin. Sea Eagle. We were on
it. Not spray, Peter.
No, well, I was told it was what do they call it? Southern Hemisphere Sea Eagle, I was told.
Right.
That's what I was told. So I can only go on what I was told.
Yeah.
We were on a boat going to a place called Rottnest Island, which was a bit of a nature sanctuary, which I had one of these strange creatures called a quokka. It looks like an overgrown rat. That's what we went to see anyway. But anyway, this was on the way over on the boat. And we went past these and seals and pelicans, all sorts. So just absolutely amazing array of bird life. And you can see the blue sky behind. It was just like that every day, day in, day out. It was wonderful. Always around about 28 degrees.
Peter, that's got a catch light inside.
Aye. Next one, please, Gervin. Pelicans. I was enthralled with the pelicans. There was dozens and dozens and dozens of them on Rottnest. I could have watched them for hours and hours. They were just amazing, the antics they got up to, you know. And when you watch them trying to keep cool in the midday sun, it was quite amazing because they've got like a flap underneath their beak, which they kind of waddle away to keep cool, and their wings spread out. Just beautiful birds. Ugly, but still beautiful. Next one, please, Gervin. Banded rail. This was on Rottnest Island as well. You couldn't feel that you were literally tripping over all the wildlife. It was just truly amazing. It's one of the everlasting memories I'll have of Australia as the wildlife. I can remember being in we went over to Sydney and eventually found ourselves in the Blue Mountains. And I was, before we went up the Blue Mountains, I was photographing the kangaroos. And I was just thrashing around in a bush. And a guy came running over and dragged his back. He says, "Do you realise there's poisonous snakes in here?" I was just in my sandals.
The hasty retreat.
Very hasty, very hasty. But, you know, you see stuff like this and you've just got to take it, you know. It's just... Next one, please, Kevin.
Get any of the snakes?
Sorry, Peter?
You get any of the snakes?
I never seen any snakes, but I've seen lots of spiders. Yeah. Chinese dragons, great. That's a swamp hen. This was, I can't remember where that was taken now.
You'd think it was webbed feet?
You would, wouldn't you? But are the feet really long?
Yeah.
I watched this guy for quite a while, you know, and he had like this habit of doing that, lifting one foot up. They were obviously feeding on whatever insects they could find. So they were like plodging along very, very carefully. And they would lift a foot up like this and very carefully place it down again, you know.
Looks so like he's got a tripod on every foot.
Isn't it? So it was quite
coots.
It was quite easy to photograph because you knew exactly what it was going to do. Next one, Gervin. And this is one of the few flowers that I was able to tape just because of the time of year. The grevillea, they're quite a popular flower, but it looks almost like a Christmas decoration, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like you know, the little bows and things like that that you put on your Christmas presents. A beautiful though, beautiful flower. Next one, Kirvin, please. And of course, you can't go to Australia without photographing a mob of kangaroos.
I went to Australia, never saw one.
Sorry?
I went to Australia, never saw a kangaroo.
Never.
Peter, are they in the wild?
Yes. We were at a place called Preston Beach, where we were staying in a beach shack. We would call it like a chalet, you know, two-story thing, and it was fabulous, absolutely fabulous where it was. And whenever, I mean, it would get dark about 6 o'clock at night, so if, whenever we were out and making our way back to the chalet, we had to be on kangaroo watch. My brother Mick, he would drive at maybe he's about 20 mile an hour because it just suddenly leap out off the bush onto the road. And there's a lot of people get killed every year when a kangaroo comes crashing through the windscreen. So I had to look out for the headlights catching the eyes and just shout out, "Roo," to the left, "Roo," to the right, and get home safely. Next one, please, Gerben. Oh, this is a darter bird, which is a bit like a cormorant, I think. The experts in the club maybe tell me better. But we were on this jetty, a place called Busselton. And originally this jetty went out for 2.5 kilometres, because the water there is very, very shallow. And any cargo boats or whatever came in, they had to go to the end of the jetty to offload. But then there was a fire, and it was shortened by 1 kilometre, so it's now only 1.5 kilometres out. It's quite an amazing feature when you look out to it, because you can barely see the end of the pier. So what it was like when it was 2.5 kilometres, you know, I've no idea.
South End.
But Busselton's a really nice sort of a resort town. That was in Western Australia as well. Next one, please, Gervin. That was it.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Great stuff.
Thank you.
Oh, Gervin, am I last?
Yes, no, just...
All right.
One more, Morgan.
I thought you usually keep us last, so if we run out of time, I don't have to do it. Anyway, I wasn't going to show anything tonight because I hadn't done anything that I had in mind. I've been busy doing other things and busy-ish anyway, as busy as it can be nowadays. But I've done a write-up for the NCPF on what the work we've done so far with the cathedral. So I was looking for some pictures to add to it to go into the NCPF magazine or something. So I got them together and I thought, I might as well show these and use them as an update for people that haven't been to show them where we've got. So anyway, this has nothing to do with an update, but I like the window. It's a tiny window. That's probably about full size, as they're saying. It's only about 1 foot square. But it's about 1,200 years old. It's the oldest bit of stained glass in the cathedral. And I just like the picture. Next one, please.
I thought that was Paul Hatton's studio.
That's one of the mothers.
Yeah, can I just say, Peter, I took quite a few photographs of that, and then I got home and I looked at it, and I really think it is an actually grotesque window. The little baby has just got such harsh features. I just do not think it's awful.
Maybe it's a look like that in those days.
I mean, I realised it was hard to etch the window, but I just...
Not really true to life, anyway.
That baby looks a bit evil to me.
It does.
This is just a bit near the cathedral used to be, with all the pews in it. This is the shot from the pulpit. Next one, please.
So, Andrew, after we started getting...
Santa Maria.
This is one of the first flags being, sorry, colours being taken away. We rolled up and walked until they get finished. Just happened to catch them as they walked past. Next one.
I think David and Carol are having a quarrel somewhere else. I've just muted them.
Switch them off.
No, what? No, right, this is the guys, what they're doing here is sealing off on the right-hand side of the pitch, they're sealing the arches. They're putting a wood frame around the arch so they can then put thick polythene sheet up. So it seals off half of the other half of the cathedral on the right. Will be sealed off from the cathedral on the left where the work's being done, so that the dust doesn't cover everything when they start digging things up. Also, the angels are covered up as well, I imagine. That'd be the next bit. So, quite a nice cherry picker. Next, please. This is the first ledger stone being lifted up, or about to be lifted up. What they do is dig around it by hand. It's a hammer and chisel job. And then they dig underneath where they can anyway and put straps under and lift it up with a crane, a big A-frame. We can see the size of the ledger stones. No, some of them are about 1 meter by 2 meters and they're about 6 inches thick as solid stone. So they're a hell of a weight. So one of the blokes doing it on Alfernias, they probably will have by the time they finish because there's hundreds of these things.
It's really hard to take a photograph as well with the light, the strobe light, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a neon light they have there.
Yeah.
The light in the place as a whole is awful.
Yeah.
It's either too dark or too bright or a mixture of both. So it's difficult to get good shots, particularly if you're trying to get a moving shot where somebody's walking around, say, or there's some movement in the picture. You have to go at a very high speed, ASA speeds to get anything. But no, luckily a lot of the shots you can just take on a slow speed. So it's not so bad then. Next one, please. That's the font there behind it. This is them actually leaving some stones up. The one he's leaving them up isn't actually a ledger stone, it's just a plain, like paving stone, which sometimes have around them to fill in the rest of the floor. And what they're trying to do is get the one on the left that he's got his foot on. That's the target, which will be the next one to be lifted up. So it's like a giant jigsaw puzzle, but in different sizes. They've got to take up bits of paving stone. When I say paving stone, it's still about 6 inches thick often, to get access to the stone they want to lift very carefully so they don't smash them. Because I wouldn't go down well if they broke them, so they're very careful. And I said, an angle grinder. Oh no, use a hammer and chisel. The next time I went there, I had an angle grinder. Must have getting sick of the hammer and chisel. So they're getting a bit faster. Next one, please. This one here. This is one of the guys, I think, from the university. He's taken the white squares around one of the belly worn. And what he's doing is taking a 3D scan of that stone, which has the cross on it. And he does a 3D scan by taking about 50 or 60 photographs from different angles for each stone, each ledger stone. And then together with the program and come up with a 3D image. So just felt sorry for the guy, that's why I took the photograph. I mean, taking 60 pictures of one stone and there's about 300 or 400 stones to go. You must have a heart like a lion. Next one, please. That's just some of the stones lying around and try to pull them around. We've got to store them out of the way while they're doing the building work, so they tend to just push them to one side, put them one side of the cathedral. So what the foreman says, they're going to do it in quarters.
The whole of pieces, you could
pull the stones out of one quarter lays a new floor. Well, it digs a floor, lays a new floor, which is pipes for the water underfloor central heating, and then new paving stones on the top, which are stone slabs. So they do about a quarter of the church at a time, move on, do another quarter, and so on. Next one. That's just like a shop without the pews, basically. Some of the ledger stones scattered around, you can see, still in the floor. And one that's been taken out of the back. See, in the top middle, you can see the polythene they used to seal off the rest of the cathedral. That must be at the altar end. No, it's not. It's at the back. Anyway, that's the idea. Passive sheet polythene up to keep the dust into the work area. Although, in fact, it's not that dusty when I've been there, when they're digging stuff up. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what happens when they start digging the floor, but maybe a bit worse, depending on how they do it.
Is the plan in the future, when this is all done, are they going to have like individual seats like we do at the camera club instead of the pews?
Yeah, the plan is that basically have a wide open space like this, nothing but the columns. So it's a huge, flexible space where they can have different sorts of events, exhibitions, church ceremonies, what have you. So they'll bring in portable pews as they need them. But the whole idea is to have a large, flexible space which can be used by the population of Newcastle. That's the intention.
Right.
Yeah, that's very common now. Quite a lot of churches have taken the pews out, replaced them with chairs so they can be more flexible. And quite a lot of cathedrals haven't got pews, like Chester and one or two.
Liverpool Cathedral has never had pews.
Yeah.
Well, I think this cathedral had them about 1,000 years ago. So they're effectively putting it back the way it was. But the whole idea is get more people in to use it. So, you know, exhibitions, what have you.
Concerts.
What?
You were talking about having concerts in there as well, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. We have concerts now, organ concerts and all sorts of music. Concerts.
Oh, the Osmonds.
What?
The Osmonds.
That would be nice. Next one, please.
They played there.
This shows you how the transport around, that's the A-frame they use. It's just a block and tackle to lift them up. You can see the thickness of the stone. You wouldn't want to drop that in your foot. So they just winch them up and then wheel them out of the way. That's the idea anyway. Still got to be pretty careful.
Peter, where did you say they were taking the stones?
They just keep them to one side, in one of the quarters that they're not working on. So they store them down one side. But what they're going to finally do is putting the stones down there beside the walls. They're going to have about two rows of stones next to the outside walls where they won't get walked on as much and therefore worn as much. But in the short term, they'll just store them out of the way and then they'll incorporate as they do one quarter of the cathedral, and incorporate the ledger stones on the outer side and have brand new stone flags for the rest of the floor, so it'll be a beautiful flat floor in the future. And the ledger stones will be out of the way and hopefully not walked on. Next one. That's a close-up view of one. You can see the amount of how well carved some of them are. Some of them are worn nearly flat, but that's one of the fancier ones. So that must have been somebody very rich, I imagine. Next one. And this is the last one. This is the skilled work team that I have. They've come from, last job they did was the big market where they did all the paving and landscaping. And the job before that, they were working in the Bishop's Palace at Bishop Auckland, which has all been restored over the last couple of years. We actually had a visit there about 2.5 years ago with the Wednesday Club, and it was a lovely place then. That was before they did it all out. sort of spent about 2 years restoring it all. And these are the guys that did it. Quite a great bunch. The big guy, second from the right, is the foreman. Second from the left is the site manager or something like that. He's kind of, he's a stonemason by trade. And he's gobsmacked at the stone carving in the church because he obviously just made blocks of stone and fairly basic stonework when he was getting trained. So he's a bit in awe of what's been done in the cathedral and time's gone by. But so they all seem to enjoy their work anyway, and they kind of got really cooperative. Help us where they can, but doing a great job, very hard job. Okay.
Thank you very much, Peter.
That's it.
Good set. Brilliant.
Can I say something just to follow on from what Peter has said there? There was a documentary on National Geographic at the beginning of the week, and it was about the first 12 months of preparing Notre Dame to start the work. If you get it on catch-up, absolutely fascinating. And this was before they actually did any repair work. Amazing stuff.
Oh, which channel was that? I saw it was on. I meant
National Geographic.
Oh, right. Yeah. I think it was one of the television programs as well.
But they spent something like 12 months preparing what was left of it to start work.
Is Ed doing the ironing while we're having a meeting?
Yeah.
Senior ironing board, Ed.
Hey mate, you know, I've washed and I've cleaned and I've done windows, I've ironed, I've made the meals. What do you do?
Yeah.
Come to mind.
I want to be locked out, I want to be locked in, not out.
Oh. Anyone with a black and white ironing board.
It's up past the front, Gervin.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, that's the end one, I think.
All right, well, you get the end first then.
All right. What? That was number 11, I think.
I just shown one.
What?
Come on, Rebecca, anyway. Ignore that.
Well, I'll talk about that. Was when we had a trip to the Victorian Tunnel for light painting. And that, believe it or not, was my second attempt. The first attempt, I thought, oh, that's rubbish. I've got to do it again. And as I finished writing my name backwards, I suddenly thought, oh, the red arrows always finish with a heart. So I'll stick the heart in. And I was amazed how well it came out.
Where's that?
The Victorian Tunnel.
Where's that?
On the Newcastle.
It's the Castle one, okay.
It's Houston. I was impressed when you did that, Rebecca. I remember you doing it because I couldn't do it when you had to write it backwards.
I was there too.
It was a good night, yes.
Yeah.
Amazing. I mean, when you see how all those bricks are picked out with the light, because they had light shining around, it was well done. It was a really good event. If we ever run one again, it would be good to go. Because it was fun.
So what was the exposure on that one?
Bless you.
Bless you, Kevin.
What was the exposure, Rebecca?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
What was the penny? Not the exposure, sorry, that's wrong word.
You had to put it on bulb, didn't you?
You had to put it on bulb. You switched it on and then you did all your writing and whatever, and then you rushed back again or somebody else switched it off for you, so...
Yeah,
but don't ask me what other settings I did. But yeah, it was bold. Yeah. Okay, we can move on. All right, at the start. This, I don't do a lot of wildlife. I certainly don't go on African jaunts. But this was Richmond Park in London. And I loved this. I missed a young stag one day by the side of the car. And I could have just about reached out and touched him, but the camera was in the boat. Oh, I could have cried that day. So when I got this one, I was quite pleased because it wasn't far away from me. So I thought it was quite good. Right, next one. And then this one, I really wasn't too far away from him. And we were coming into the rutting season. So he was watching me and I was watching him because I thought if he moves, I'm off like a shot. But he was quite happy, but he was just keeping an eye on what I was up to. And I got as close as I could, but I wasn't quite that close. I had a good lens on. So yeah, again in Richmond Park. Next one. This is just down in Washington. And I like the one top right. And I've got another one that I prefer even better. But this was a little group I had together. And I think the judge said that the top right, it was a pity the third one wasn't looking at me as well. So, I just... And the one at the bottom was a little baby and they kept shooting all over the place, diving in the water. So they were quite hard to take.
You should have twisted the judge's head.
Yeah, so I was quite pleased with those. I liked them and I thought they were sharp enough. They were all right, apart from the bottom one, because he was jumping around. Now, I don't do landscapes. I think I tend to take a photograph, and when I look at it, I think, well, it was nothing like that when I looked at it, you know. I don't seem to capture the view. But this was something like 4:30 in the morning on Loch Awe. So it was very misty. But I just loved the reflection of the boat. And there were one or two more buoys floating around. So I deleted those and left three. I thought I have to have three buoys. But I like the reflections in the mist. And I thought the little boat looked quite nice at the bottom.
It's good. Where's Loch Awe, Rebecca?
It's in Scotland.
Perthshire.
West Coast.
It's in Perthshire, just north of Dunkeld.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, 45 minutes to get anywhere, isn't it?
What was that, David?
It takes you about 45 minutes to find humanity, doesn't it, from Loch Awe? It's like in the middle of nowhere, there's an out there.
I was staying in a chalet with Sue and Dick Wermeling. And we got up early one morning, and of course the lock was, mirror smooth. And then within a couple of hours, of course, it started, you get all the waves coming around and messing it all up. So we did have to get up early for one or two shots. Right, next one, please. This is one I took many years ago. If you look closely, you'll see they've got the cranes. So I think it was the year after 9/11, and they were clearing the ground when we were there. But we were on the Staten Island ferry, and I took one or two shots, but I liked that one with the boat coming towards us. And I loved the sky. I thought it was really good, but one of the judges that saw it at the time said, "Oh, didn't think the sky was very good at all, so I can't win." But that was that's the south end of Manhattan. As I say, we were on the Staten Island ferry, so we were bouncing around all over the place. I remember I had it must have been the older Fuji I had, because I had to change the batteries halfway over, and I was terrified I dropped the camera. I had four little batteries to get in quickly, and I thought, "Oh, I'm gonna miss this shot." So the big difference now when you get the big powerful batteries after the stupid little things you push in. But you
I thought you'd finished. Carry on.
Yeah, no, I was just it was the older Fuji, so I was quite pleased with what I got at the time. And I really keep promising myself I'll set that up as a landscape and have it printed. But I've never got round to doing it.
You could consider halving the sky.
Yeah.
And I think that might make it, there's nothing wrong with the sky, but it doesn't add a lot, does it? And if you halved it, you'd still get the same effect to the sky and you might get a more dramatic shape.
Right.
It's just a possibility. I mean, you do what you like, don't you?
Yeah, no, I was thinking of doing that to do, try and get a long one printed. So it looked as though it was a panoramic view, you know. But yeah, I did like it. I called it the new skyline, but of course it's changed again since then. We've got different towers up, haven't we?
Yes, the Freedom Tower's there now.
Yeah. So next one, please. So this one was when, just a couple of years ago, when I was in Australia, and we left Sydney. We only just arrived and we left again on the Royal Caribbean cruise up to the New Caledonian Islands, it was. So we set off there, I think it was tea time sometime. And of course the sun's going down, and I managed to get the shot of the bridge in and also the skyline, which you don't often see. Everybody, you know, photographs the opera house, but I quite like the way the sun was, you know, just bursting out behind all the skyscrapers. Next one. This was on the quayside. You probably know where it is. I really love the way that I've got the sage so close. It looks as though the two of them are together, but they're actually on the opposite sides of the river. But I hadn't known that little lantern was there until I'd spotted it that night. And I loved it, and I really liked the colours of all the blues and the blues in the lantern with the little flash of yellow. So I did like that photograph. It's quite nice. And then if you go for the next one, that was just a still life that I did. And I quite liked it. There was something about it that I liked. I've done one or two more, and I've been photographing a couple of things in the house recently. But I did like that one. I know looking back, one of the fir cones isn't in focus at the front there, but the roses I thought were quite nice.
I like the colours. They're like alive.
Yeah. So I was pleased with that. I liked it with the shiny black background as well. Was quite nice. Next one, please. Carol, you might remember this.
Yeah.
Night. We're brought on holiday or something. David
Thompson.
Thompson, was that him?
Yeah, his nickname's Tomo.
Tomo. Oh, well, it was the first time I've told him to take his trousers off, and he obeyed, you know. I said, oh, well, you've got to take your trousers off.
Typical cool streamer.
Yeah.
I've obviously joined Wickham too late for this.
We'll have to get him back. I think he was frozen by the time he'd finished standing around. I haven't shown you any with his underpants on, but you were appropriate. Sorry?
Actually, Rebecca, he was absolutely sweat.
Was he? Oh, I thought I remembered him being cold.
Yeah, he had
heat, I think, didn't he?
It was the heat off the lamps, I think.
Probably, yeah. But he was such a nice fella, and of him, I cropped that in quite close because I liked the way he was looking at me at the camera, and I quite like the one that just shows the right shoulder with the tattoo.
That's lovely.
Yeah, I did like that one. That was really from John Race, who once said, "You don't need to photograph all of a bicycle to know that it is a bike." So I thought, "Oh yes, if I just." You know, take his shoulder to where it is, you know, get more impact. So, yeah, I was pleased with that one. That was
certainly good. Not a bicycle.
I'm still imagining him in his pants, actually. So.
Next time I'll show you the one in his underpants. Next one, please. Now, what started it off was we had... the portrait night at Paul Hatton's showroom. And he said, oh, you can come and use our equipment. We'll set it all up for you. And somebody said, right, everybody that goes, take a model that you can photograph. So I asked my son's girlfriend at the time, because I thought she has a very strong feature on her face. And she said, oh, yes, she'd come along. It would be fun. Well, of course, nobody else went, did they? She was the only model, poor soul. But at one point, they pulled this big leather chest forward and she leant over it. Now, she had a little strappy top on with very thin straps, you know, it was quite neat. And when I took the photograph, I thought, well, you can just see a little bit of the strap, but if I'm very careful, I can clone them out. So it looks as though she's actually nude, but she wasn't. And I put it on Facebook for a bit of fun, and her friends all joined in. They're all saying, oh, Benita, were you standing with no clothes on? She was saying, oh, no, no. So I thought it was rather funny. My son wasn't very pleased that that I'd put it on. He didn't like it at all. But she was such a photogenic girl that I actually, that's my favourite of all photographs, I think, that I've taken. The one of Benita in the nude. And I think that's probably it, is it, Gerben?
Yep.
Yeah, right.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. I haven't had much of a chance before now to edit many photos. So these are from probably last July. I went down to London just for a couple of days. There was a James Bond exhibit on. So they had all the original cars that they used in the movies. So this is his DB5. So it's a pretty expensive car, that one there. I didn't really get many shots from there because it was all indoors. The lighting was pretty rubbish, but I quite like that one. I think the blue hints, the highlights on it look quite nice.
Yeah.
Next one, please.
Yeah, good.
I quite like my architecture as well. I don't think I'll end up using any of these for anything particularly, but I quite like shapes and particularly black and white and stuff.
Is that the one by the monument?
Yeah, it's by the monument, that, isn't it?
Yeah, put in
absolutely
ladies.
Wonderful piece of work, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I like that one, it's really nice.
Mm-hmm. And next one, please. There's a further out shot of it. Just getting some more features of the building in as well.
Mm-hmm. Which building is it?
I can't remember now.
It's just an office building in the square, isn't it?
I think it is, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
The monument. One thing about it, that's like the Sage Morgan. When you get that in black and white, you can't really go wrong, can you?
Yeah, yeah.
The wonderful tones and stuff.
Yeah.
Fly the flag, guys.
Next one, please.
I've got some lovely colour shots of that.
Rubbish. I'll be speaking to you in the morning, mind.
More from London here. I forget which building this is. It's some cavalry building, I think. I forget the name. I don't know if anyone knows. Yeah, the sky was quite nice. The clouds were interesting. It was shame because it was awful. Well, it was lovely weather, but it was awful photography. It was just so bright all the time. It was very rare to see clouds. I was like one of the only few I seen the whole weekend I was there. Next, please. Again, more just close-ups of buildings. Nice. Next, please. This was in the Science Museum in London that had these metal casts of people's faces showing different emotions. I just really loved the... I seen it and I was like, that's a perfect opportunity for a black and white, nice contrast between the darker metal and the white, so... Again, I wouldn't use it for anything because it was almost art in itself, but I quite liked the look of it. So, next, please.
That's somebody that's getting murdered.
Could be. That's a bit of a different take on the London skyline. So, it's HMS Belfast in the front there. I quite liked how the dazzle camouflage on the ship almost blended into the urban skyline. I thought it looked quite nice. So,
yeah.
Next, please. These were taken in Edinburgh again last year. These were at the Camera Obscura. It's a brilliant place if you ever get the chance to go. It was like a tunnel. It went all the way down. It had almost like an infinite mirror type of effect, but they had little lights all the way down, and these lights changed colours. So this was just on just a 1 or 2 second exposure, I forget now, just moving the camera around different directions, and just the lights were changing colours. I mean, again, it's nothing that I'll use for anything. It's just interesting and fun to play around with. Next, please. Again, more of the same. It's a brilliant place, the Camera Obscura. There's absolutely loads to see in there. The illusions are really good. Next, please.
Nice.
The last one. But yeah, it was fun to play around with the different exposure lengths and apertures and stuff to see what sort of effects it could create.
Yeah. Very interesting, Morgan. Very interesting.
What was the movement in the lights, Morgan?
There wasn't any movement. That was just me shaking the camera myself. It was just like a tunnel. And it was like infinite mirrors. So everywhere you looked had like a infinitely long light, essentially, because it just had LED bulbs in that would change colours. So I just took the camera and just slowly shook it around a little bit on a longer exposure just to pick up the different patterns and shapes and stuff.
Interesting project, that, Morgan.
Yeah, it would be fun to go back and try a few more things, I think. But
Morgan, thank you very much for showing completely different things to what we've seen before. Thank you very much indeed.
No problem.
Excellent. Is that the end? Or is there another one?
No, that was me.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
Thank you all very much for showing your photographs.
Yeah.
Thank you very much indeed. Those of you on the committee, I'll be in touch with you shortly about arranging a date once I've organised one with Alan. And those of you on the committee will know that I've been trying to think about how to move things forward since our AGM cannot happen. As we would normally have an AGM. So basically what I've asked the present committee, would they like to continue in their present roles until we can have a formal AGM? And the ones who've responded so far have said they would. So we'll have a formal AGM whenever. And in the meantime, the committee will continue as long as nobody objects, but I don't suppose they will. So, and thank you very much to Gerben for organising again.
Well thanks, done, Gerben.
Cheers.
Next week, if I remember, is next week the date we're going to show Paul Hatham's Photoshop, where we're going to play about with his derelict car and garage barn thing.
I think he's picked a really hard one.
He has,
I'm going to pick an easy one.
Well, that's next week. So if you can get your photographs into Gerben for next week, we'll discuss how we can distort an image and see where we go from there.
I'm totally lacking in inspiration for it, I'm afraid.
We've heard that before, Linda.
It's tough.
How do you get the image then?
Alan's emailed it round on a high resolution image on one of these bits and pieces. Newsletters.
Oh.
So look on the emails. It's there.
I always read them from start to finish, but I must have missed it. Perhaps I nodded off.
Maybe you did.
I sent mine to Paul, so will Paul forward it to...
I think it was said that forward them on to me. I'll just get them all together and send them on to Gerben, but it doesn't make any difference because they're Gerben or myself.
I've rejigged the title to Image Mutilation.
But I've had two in up to now.
Great.
How many's Gerben had?
I have none so far. Ooh. I think.
Come on, everybody.
I've put a deadline down to Wednesday, but it could be going to Thursday. It's just to give Gerben a chance to get them ready. But the idea is that you can just do anything you like with them, and on Friday night you can just talk through what you thought about it, how you gone through to change the image or work on it.
with you can do anything with it.
So were they on the last bits and pieces then, the most recent one?
The week before, last week's Royal. I'll send it out to you again if you wish.
Okay. Me too. If it's time to do it, yeah, there might be. Yeah, I've got a lot on.
Will Ed be turning it black and white then, presumably, will he?
There's a virtual case of wine for the winner.
Virtual. Wow.
I've already been playing around with them, and I've come up with two. But are we only allowed one to enter one?
Oh, you have a couple.
A couple of your ones. Yeah. But, okay.
Carol, I'll give you a fiver for the spare one if you like, because I'm totally lacking in inspiration.
So, can you do an online order with Asda for the crate of champagne?
Champagne was just cheap wine 2 minutes ago.
If you think that image was bad, I had one that was really, really bad. I was nearly going to send that one out. If we do it again, I might send this one out. It's a real challenge.
See how this goes, and if it's success, we'll do it again.
I like that. Well, Liverpool, Littlewood's building, see? And when I first saw it, when Alan sent it out, I thought it was awful. I couldn't think of anything. But in the end, you know, you start pushing yourself. I found it very good.
That's next week. So wonderful.
David, I've got an announcement, actually. Well, I'm getting some news in today, and it's a bit sad. Stanhope, Camera Club, they've lost a Mrs. Gray.
She was in the 90s, wasn't she? No,
she was 104.
Yeah.
And she was in the Camera Club for 52 years.
Wow.
So she's just gone.
Rest in peace.
Yes. When you think it is a long term, I found that Ray Rayner was program secretary at Gateshead for 45 years.
Which
is a reasonably long time. I mean, Wickham's been going about 47 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's very sad, but that's the way it goes. Now,
she was 90 odd when she last came here, the Stanhope woman, and she was still in the club. Very recently, so I don't know.
I was there last season. I was there this season, and she was always there, obviously. And I had a nice chat to her with a cup of tea and a biscuit. So she was a lovely old woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you remember Jack Johnson at South Shields?
Yeah, I do.
The last time I went, he was very old, and the last time I went, he wasn't there, and I thought he might have gone, but I'd gone in winter, and apparently he wouldn't come out of the house.
Yeah.
It was cold. When you get to about 99, you get to about, you know, you feel the cold more. But, he could remember the bombing in the South Shields when they were shelling it in the First World War.
Wow.
The First World War, my goodness.
Yeah, the First World War. No, I was thinking the other day, you know, this guy, old Tom, who's just making 100. And I was just thinking, well, you know, perhaps one ought to be thinking about what you're going to do when you're 99, see, because he was nobody till then, wasn't he? Then he's 99. He's got this, this ridiculous amount of money. It's just incredible, isn't it? And today he's got the record that he's just sung a line or two in.
Yes.
Number one. Roy, we want you number one in the charts when you're 100.
Well, I've never been I'm tone deaf when it comes to singing, so I think that wouldn't be a good choice.
if you were singing with Michael Ball, you would be getting to number one.
Yes, you just make a few noises at the right time.
Can you pay can you park 100 times?
But anyhow, we've got to get through another 5 years first. But if Corona doesn't get you, then why not?
Yeah.
But perhaps we will meet again. Don't know where, don't know when.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was interested with that, wasn't it? Because I'd said, you know, we could do with Vera saying when we'll meet again. And then it came out in the papers a week later that Catherine Jenkins was collaborating with her. And she's 102. And they were going to bring out a new edition of We'll Meet Again.
Right.
Makes a bit of money for charity, perhaps.
Yeah. Okay, guys, I'm going to say good night.
Well, yes. Thank you all very much.
Meeting. Yes. Good night. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Gerben.
We'll meet again. Bye bye. Take care.
Next week.
Be safe.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night, all. Thank you very much.